Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon is the gospel lesson, especially verse 35. And a voice came out of the cloud saying, "This is my Son, my chosen one, listen to him." And so that provides the three points of our meditation. This is my Son, my chosen one, listen to him. I was in a conversation earlier this week with someone, and we were talking about our children. And he talked about his son. I talked about my son. I got to say this, and sometimes I say this. One of my sons ended up in the army, and he went to Iraq. My son helped to free 25 million people. This is my son. Very proud of him for that. Now take that attitude and hear those words. God the Father saying, "This is my son. This is my son." And the amazing thing is God the Father boasting about his son Jesus. This is my son. And as he boasts, what has Jesus done? Jesus has been born for us. Jesus has preached the gospel for us and to the people of that day. And now on that mountain, there is Jesus and Moses and Elijah. It's the Mount of Transfiguration. Little detour. Coincidentally, Moses and Elijah both in the Old Testament, each one went up on a mountain to meet God. Each one of them, each one, Moses and Elijah were asked to take the word of God, to trust the words and promises of God, to walk by faith. Both Moses and Elijah had a hard time at certain points with that. Moses, he questioned, he wondered. And when the people of Israel were going out of Egypt, he called out to God. He worried through the wilderness again and again. He worried. Elijah, just before going to the mountain of the Lord, Elijah had been on Mount Carmel, Elijah and the priests of Baal, and God answered with fire from heaven and proved that he is the true God. And that was the high point of Elijah's career as a prophet. And then what happened? Elijah heard that Queen Jezebel was threatening to kill him and lost it all and panicked and ran to the mountain of the Lord. "Elijah, why are you here? I'm the only one left and they're trying to kill me too." So the business of taking that word of God and the words and promises of God and walking in faith based on that, not always so easy. Moses and Elijah, very much like us, falling short, stumbling, wandering off from God, forgetting the promises, worrying about whether God is true to his word. And God the Father on that mountain says, "This is my son. This is my son who takes the word of God, who holds to the words and promises of God. This is my son who believes those words and promises of God and will not turn aside and will not question and despair. This is my son." That pulls us right back into, right at the beginning of everything, when there is the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and there within the Trinity, there is the Word of God. The Word of God is that constant thing back and forth between the persons of the Trinity. And then our triune God speaking His Word out from Himself. He begins by saying, "Let there be light." And the light begins and the world is created and God creates the vast array of living things in this world. But that Word of God, that Word of God is that tremendously important thing. The Word of God is life-giving, life-renewing, sin-forgiving, faith-creating. And when God the Father says, "This is my Son, this is my Son who takes the Word of God, this is my Son." And out in the wilderness and the temptation, next Sunday we get to read the account of the temptation of Jesus out in the wilderness. And what does Jesus say in those temptations? He always goes back to the Word of God and he says, "Man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord." So Jesus taking that Word of God, living on the Word of God, treasuring the Word of God, having the Word of God given to him day after day after day, and that Word of God becoming his prayers, and that Word of God drawing him again and again into that closeness of the relationship that he had with his Father. And he will not turn away from that Word of God, will not turn away for anything. "This is my Son." Before we go on, realize again and again, we keep saying this, when God says, "Trust my Word," what he's doing is God is inviting us into that relationship of the Word of God. And in that relationship, he invites us into the life of the Trinity. What an amazing thing. But again, do we trust it? We stumble. We doubt. We question. We wander from God. We forget His Word. We go off in different ways, just like Moses and Elijah, just like Abraham, just like every Christian, every believer that has ever been. But God says, "This is my Son." And Moses and Elijah are there talking with Jesus, right? What are they talking about? You look earlier in the text, and it says, Moses and Elijah, who appeared to him and were talking with him about his... Exodus, but you won't read that in most of the English translations. And what most of the English reads as is about his departure that he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. But if I were to bring in my Greek and hold it out and you could see the letters of the Greek word, you would say, "Oh, that's Exodus." What's the difference between a departure and an exodus? In a departure, you simply get up and leave. In an exodus, you take the whole nation with you. In an exodus, that is back in the Old Testament. That's the exodus out of Egypt. That is with the Passover and the Passover lamb and the parting of the Red Sea and the going with God to the promised land. And they were talking with him about his exodus. And yes, there would be there would be a Passover lamb, wouldn't there? There would be a Passover lamb with the blood of the lamb marking the doors of the Israelites, right? And that Passover lamb in the New Testament, Jesus is the Passover lamb. His blood marks us. Now, back in the Old Testament, the blood of the lamb marked the door, and God passed over, and there would not be the death of the firstborn. In the New Testament, Jesus is the firstborn and sheds his blood for his people. Our Passover lamb. There's the parting of the waters in the Old Testament, and symbolically, the people of Israel went down and back up, down into death and up into new life, and then walking with God. And so Jesus brings his people, brings us through death and into life. And he does so as he hangs on the cross, receiving the nails, shedding his blood. And as he did that, again, God the Father's words, "This is my Son, my chosen one." He is the one that would hold to the words and promises of God, that would have that stance of faith, that would walk the walk of faith even through the worst darkness, even when the judgment of the law, the penalty on sin, the penalty on all the sins of the entire human race was poured out on him, he would stay with the words and promises of God. And even when the Father forsook him and turned his back on him, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Jesus stayed believing the words and promises of God. Because those words and promises, they promise life, they promise salvation. And even when the words and promises of God to Jesus talked about a cross and bleeding and dying in a tomb, hidden in that promise was still the promise of eternal life, and eternal life that would be shared with us. So God the Father says, "This is my Son." Has there ever been a Son like this? Has there ever been one such as he? You can hear the echoes from the Old Testament prophet Isaiah. "Behold my servant." That's two parts. The third part then is the third phrase. "Listen to him." Oh, really? Okay. Listen to him? Let's ask the impudent question, why should we listen to him? And the Bible says, glad you asked. Let me tell you why you listen to him. You listen to him not just because he has the words of life, not just because he speaks the word of God and says things like, "Your sins are forgiven," or "Lazarus, come forth," and the dead man comes out. Not just because he says to the thief on the cross, "Today you will be with me in paradise," and it's true. You listen to him because he knows how to listen to the word of God. He places himself under the word of God. Listen to him because he knows how to receive the word of God. Listen to him because he knows the walk of faith. Listen to him because he's the one that has walked that walk of faith. And whenever you stumble, whenever you wander off, whenever you are weak in faith, whenever you forget the promises, whenever you wander off from the ways of God, listen to Him. He has that Word of God. He's heard the Word of God. He has heard the saving Word of God. He speaks the saving Word of God. He's the only one to listen to in matters of faith. He's the only one that can speak a word and with one word assure us of our salvation and of the love of God. Listen to Him. And as He gives us His words, well, you know the truth of this. We feel God's word tugging and pulling us and inviting us. Come closer. God says, come close. Receive that word. Be a part of the life of God. And be a part of the living for all eternity. And so we hear that word of God and it pulls and tugs and draws us in. And we find it is true that in this one, the one, this is my son, in this one, we have all of the life He has to share, given to us forever. In Jesus' name, amen.